Happy July, everyone. It has been a hot 6 months since I've talked to you guys last, and I have to say, I had to laugh at myself because I do that a lot. But I actually was listening to my last episode to refresh myself on everything I had talked about, and I said at some point that I would love to do monthly updates or goal projecting or something like that at the end of each month. And, you know, I just had to laugh at myself because here I am 6 months later and only now do I feel like I actually have something to say. So, yes, let's recap the last 6 months. If you hear snoring, I will say, we used to hear the nails on the tile for Eli and Jake, but now you'll probably hear snoring because we have Jack the pit bull. We decided fairly soon after Jake passed, we were so heartbroken. We didn't know if we were ready to bring another dog. Oh, and look, you'll hear pigeons in the background too. I'm on my back porch. Anyway, we just decided that our home just didn't feel right without a doggy presence, and we were happy to bring Jack into our house even in the midst of still mourning Jake, but it was the right thing to do, and it definitely brought in the presence of belly laughs. However, if I could describe Jack the way he looks, I would say a Scooby-Doo without the dots on his back. Jack has a squishy face and a small lower jaw, and so that means with having such a shortened schnoz, he snores really loud. So I think we'll trade the tap dances for the snores, I think, is probably what you'll hear at some point. But I am sitting on my back porch and there are pigeons all around me, and I think there's a hummingbird that's buzzing close by, so you're just gonna get the full nature effect right now. Bear with me on that. Anyway, I just wanted to catch everybody up, and you know, I've been just kind of dealing with something lately that I kind of feel maybe loosely ties into a life lesson that I learned as a woodworker, and I mentioned it in my last episode. But I feel like it's time to go ahead and talk about it in more deep detail and kind of tie it into what I've been going through lately. Let me go ahead and get that obligatory ad out of the way. So go to the bathroom, grab your coffee. It's only a minute long, or your iced tea, or since we're in July, and there's a sparrow. Your sweet tea, just go do what you gotta do, get yourself situated, and I will be right back. Well, friends, welcome back. I took a little break to kind of gather my thoughts on the life lesson that I've learned from working with wood and epoxy, to really gather my thoughts and kind of organize them properly. And I realized I was munching on a really yummy mango that I'm going to change gears. That kind of goes in theme with the life lesson that I've realized but really have been applying right now. So I thought I was going to be talking about some of the reclaimed wood that I've worked with in the past and lessons that I learned, but really, I put this in my Facebook post a couple times when I'm posting the work that or project that I'm in the midst of or something like that, is sometimes you don't know what the end product is going to look like, and so you have to learn to go with the flow. And what does that mean, and how does that tie into something I know I'm personally experiencing, and maybe something that maybe you could use in the future, you know, or maybe you're going through something right now where this might actually be applicable to you. I hope it is. So, to make a long story short, Well, let's go ahead and say this. Okay, when I prep wood, I will decide a species of wood that I'm going to work with, and I have to prep it, I have to trim it down, I have to, you know, lay it out in the mold properly. And once all that process is done, then I get to mix up the epoxy. And if I want something that looks, you know, kind of translucent, a little bit see-through-ish, then I will use an alcohol ink. If I want some patterning in the epoxy, I love making like a satin swirl to make it look like, I don't know, satin sheets, or like a, reminds me of a Dove commercial, like the Dove chocolate commercial when they mix up the chocolate. I can make a pattern sometimes that looks like that, or other times I'll make like a feather looking, other times maybe kind of wave pattern. But you know, we all love watching the color swirl videos. Those are really fun. But what I don't show very often, because it's just kind of boring and really drawn out, is after I pour the epoxy, I have to stand there with a heat gun for a while and pop the bubbles. As the wood soaks in the epoxy, it pushes the air out of the wood, and so air bubbles will form. But for a period of time after I pour my epoxy, if I want a patterning in my final product, I have to do what I call kicking up the dust. See, mica powder does dissolve into the epoxy, but after sitting there for a while, it will separate. So I need to go and I need to stir it every so often, and do what I call kicking up the dust. Otherwise, a portion of it will settle at the bottom. And it'll look nice. I just really love it when it's fully stirred and I have a really gorgeous pattern going through it. But I remember the first time that I poured the epoxy and I used the mica powder. And I didn't stir it because I didn't know. And it all settled at the bottom. And it was still beautiful, but it just didn't come out looking like what I thought. And I remember getting frustrated because I was like, that, like the end product is not, that's not what I expected it to look like. Sure, it's pretty, but when you have in your mind the expectation of the final product, and I was still new at it, I still am, but I've got almost a year under my belt now. Lots of mistakes made, but then I learned that I'm supposed to stir it from time to time to kind of kick up that dust and remix it into the rest of the epoxy. And there comes a point in the curing where the consistency is thick enough that it will stay, and that's when you get the pattern. But I didn't know that at first. And so when I very first started, you know, experimenting with patterns and learning, you know, how epoxy works and all that stuff, I remember thinking at one point, oh, so it's like you have to learn to go with the flow. And that's when I realized that epoxy, when it stirs, there's a flow to it. You know, it kind of goes from one side to the other to the other. And if you do like little teeny tiny circles when you're stirring it, it kind of all, it behaves differently. But I remember when I very first started learning how to do the mixing and the color and the patterning within the color, I would get frustrated because I would stir something. I would stir the epoxy, and then I'd come back a couple hours later and the pattern would be gone. And I would be so frustrated because then you have to stir it back up. And, you know, there comes a point where you don't have to stir it anymore because it's thick enough, like almost like a nut butter consistency, where it's not going to settle anymore. And that's always the relief, because you can get a little more predictability. But anyway, I remember when I realized, oh, you have to go with the flow. And then whatever it looks like at the end, when I unmold each board or coasters or something like that, I see what I have to work with. But it's not until it's cured 3 to 5 days down the road that I actually see what I really have to work with. And then that's when, you know, the finishing process happens. So learning to go with the flow is so important when you're working with woods and epoxies. And, you know, some woods have a different density than others, so you'll get more activity when you're working with the epoxy. And, you know, it's different from time to time, and the outcome is different every single time. And I can have, you know, two pieces from the exact same tree stump of wood, and I can even mix it in the exact same color with the same, you know, same measurements of the coloring with the mica powder and everything, and you can come out with a completely different end product. And that is a real nail biter, I will say. It's a joy though. But why do I feel like I need to share that? The importance of going with the flow and accepting whatever the end product is going to be and doing the best you can with that. So I don't really like to go into my own personal, medical history too far in depth. But what I do feel that this is necessary for me to share, because I don't know if somebody else could benefit from it. But if you know me personally, you know that on social media a couple months ago I had asked people's experience with LASIK, the laser eye surgery. And the reason why I asked about that is because my husband accidentally stepped on my glasses one night. So I had to fix it the best that I could. And I remember my optometrist, you know, for years he's told me, oh, you're a perfect candidate for LASIK. If you ever want to do it, I would support you. If you don't want to do it, I don't care. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I should just go look into that LASIK and see if I'm a candidate. So I went and they did the imaging. And a week later, I found out that this particular eye surgeon, the LASIK eye surgeon, felt like I needed to be seen by a specialist because he diagnosed me with a condition called keratoconus. And basically, you know, I don't know if there's anybody who really even is interested in this, but it's when the cornea of the eye thins from the inside out and creates a weak spot to where there will become a bulge. And how does all this tie into learning to go with the flow? Well, I'll get there. Hang in there with me. So when light rays go into that weaker part of my left eye, it's in my left eye, when the light rays go in there, they don't refract properly because I don't have a perfectly shaped cornea. Overall eye, yes, but my cornea specifically has that weakness. And so the light will scatter differently. And so it does impair my vision in a different way than my right eye, where I normally need glasses. And, you know, when I very first heard that diagnosis and some of the things that he told me, I just thought, you know, whatever, I can't even deal with this right now. I've got too much other stuff going on in my life. So although I thought about it for a while, and I did reach out to friends for prayer, I couldn't deal with it. And then it came to a point where I felt like this sense of urgency, like 2 months after I learned that, and he wanted me to go to a specialist to seek treatment. I just felt like the sense of urgency of, I can't wait to find out anymore. I didn't believe him, honestly. I need to get this settled once and for all. Because, you know, your mind, you know, it goes flighty and, you know, kind of gets away from you and all that stuff. So I went into the specialist appointment and I fully expected that she would tell me that she disagreed with the LASIK surgeon's diagnosis and that I would take my lessons that I learned from that 2 months of contemplating the eye condition and the implications and I would move forward. But that's not what I got. I got a confirmation of the diagnosis and, you know, that's what we have to work with. And one of the, one of the possibilities with this eye condition is that I could potentially lose a significant, if not, you know, I can lose a significant amount of visibility in my left eye. And I think that's just my way of coping to say that I could lose vision in my left eye, at least partial. But it could be pretty significant. We don't know, you know, how much further it will progress. And I'm really hoping and praying no progression at all, but who knows? Now, where does that tie into this life lesson that I learned through woodworking? Is by nature, I'm a planner. I like having my thoughts organized. I like predictability. I've joked about it in my past episodes of four next loops and if then, you know, conditional loops and all that kind of stuff. And I really love that. And that's how I thrive. So basically, when it comes to my eye condition, there's still so much unknown, and only time can tell. And I'm praying for a really good outcome, but I know the statistics and I know the probability of at least, at the very least, my eye remaining extremely uncomfortable and having that weakness. You know, I know what the numbers tell me. I still probably, I don't know if this is right, wrong, or indifferent, but I just still have the hopes of no progression and really no significant changes in the future, however time will tell. So I have to take that lesson of learning to go with the flow, and I have to apply it in this situation. I don't know what the end product is going to look like. I don't know what the, you know, 7, 10 years, I don't know what I'll be able to see and what I won't be able to see. I'm hoping that I'll be able to see, you know, very well and no significant, you know, loss of vision. But I also know that the likelihood of that happening isn't, as they would say in the Hunger Games, the odds are not necessarily in my favor. So where does that leave, you know, where does that leave the situation? Are you in a situation where there's a lot of unknowns and you're really struggling with that? If so, I hope you reach out to somebody, or if you're an introvert like me, take time to yourself, but then please reach out to somebody. Because it can be a heavier burden to bear than needs to be borne. When we insist on doing it alone. But, you know, part of, flashing back to the wood epoxy, part of the excitement, and I wouldn't say that, I would call my eye condition exciting, but part of the thing is when I go back to stir up my epoxy, I kick up that dust a little bit and I stir it up. Part of that is that there's this expectation that is not going to set right, or, you know, or that the flow will mess up my patterning again. So, I mean, I get to start and reprioritize and toy around with different patterns every time I go back to restir, and I can decide what I really like and what I don't. You know, what I'm kind of glad faded, I guess I could put it in that way. And I have to wait the full curing process so I can take it out of its mold after 3 days, and then I have to let it sit for another 2 days to make sure it's completely hardened, so I know exactly what I can run through my planer, what I can sand, what I can shape, what I can trim off here and there. But I don't think I've had too many boards where I've looked at it at the end and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to scrap it. Because I don't know what the end product is going to look like doesn't mean that I have to be frustrated and so on throughout the whole entire process. So something that Joel and I had decided for my birthday is, I remember one night before my birthday, I was really emotional about the diagnosis. And, you know, at that point, I didn't have the second opinion. But I was still kind of grappling a little bit with the diagnosis. And I told Joel, I was just like, you know, we have put so much off for the later time. And retirement years, things that we have been putting off for when the kids are grown or when we're retired, that might not be an opportunity that I can take advantage of. So I had it in my mind that we were going to do all kinds of traveling in Joel's retirement years. And it's not that with impaired vision that I can't travel. It's just that there are certain things in my life that I just wanted to put off until I could fully enjoy. Because, you know, sometimes it's not fun traveling with younger kids, and other times they're too young to do this or that, and you just want to wait till they're older to do certain things. And I went through, and I still kind of, my emotions run the gamut, even throughout the day. But I thought, oh man, I have been putting off so many things for the perfect timing. And what if that's not the optimal time for me to do this stuff? What if waiting till I'm in my 50s and 60s, what if I don't have fully functional vision? And I lived in the land of what if. And I don't like living in the land of what ifs, but instead I told Joel, I don't want to wait anymore. If there is something that is so important to us on our bucket list that I would love to have and know for sure that I have functional vision in both eyes, I don't want to wait anymore. Let's get that on the agenda and let's start working toward that first. And so that's what we did. And, things that I always said that I wanted to do, but I'm too scared to do, we're going to do it. Now, I'm not going to swim with the sharks. I know I said that was on my bucket list one day, but I actually took that off my bucket list. But we definitely were able to reprioritize things that we wanted to do in life. Not because I'm planning this doomsday event of when my vision fades out to, you know, basically zero and I'm facing a possible corneal transplant, which, you know, is a possibility of the eye condition that I have. It's a very severe case, which I don't see myself going that far, but, you know, I don't want to live in a doomsday scenario. But at the same time, if we can do it in a responsible manner, like a financially responsible manner now, I don't want to wait. Why? Wait for another time that I thought would be perfect when I'm not guaranteed that that time's actually going to work anymore? I don't know. Why? So I've talked about going with the flow, but that really kind of leaves me off at embracing the finished product. So going with the flow, accepting and doing what's within my power in a responsible manner, I should say. And that's not just about traveling, like, oh, we're going to travel now or anything like that. That's, you know, just bucket list items in general that we want to accomplish. But something that is beautiful that came out of this, and also in seeking and hoping and praying to be able to embrace whatever, hopefully not much, to embrace in the future as far as my eye condition, but with the understanding that I'll have to embrace some sort of change. Don't know what yet. Hopefully not a lot. But I'm actually grateful that my husband stepped on my glasses so I would go look into LASIK, so I can be told I have an eye condition, so I can be an emotional wreck for 2 months, and so then I can get confirmed after I went into denial. But there's something beautiful that came out of that. What? Well, my husband and I actually are moving forward with things that we always wanted, but I don't know if it was fear holding us back or waiting for, you know, perfectionism, waiting for the better time or something. We've got plans to move forward with that and to not wait until our golden oldies. But there's beauty in that process. And also, for some reason, I was always considering my bucket list. I never even thought about Joel's. And the understanding that this has an impact on him as well. What the impact is, I don't know, because we don't know what the future holds for my vision or anything. And that's just, that's life as well. That's not just specific to, you know, my eye condition. That's just life. We don't know what to expect. But it got me to thinking about Joel's bucket list and how his bucket list may be altered. And I don't want to wait to make sure that his stuff is done either. And, you know, there are some common things that we have on our bucket list. But, you know, there's stuff that he, you know, wants to do with his life, too. That would be really awesome if I was able to see, you know, functionally from both eyes. So we started working on that as well. And he started prioritizing mine, and I started prioritizing his. And we have a plan for moving forward. We have a plan for what we can plan in the midst of unpredictable. So I don't really know how to leave off on that. So I think I'm just going to close with a question of, are you facing something right now that you don't know what the outcome is going to be and it scares the bejeebers out of you? And can I encourage you to, within your capacity, to go with the flow and somehow work your way to a point of embracing the final product, regardless of what it looks like? So, having shared that, I'm going to appreciate all of my five senses and embrace whatever the future holds. And my husband are definitely looking forward to checking those things off our bucket list, and we're just hoping and praying for the for the best. And I'm gonna do the same thing for all of you. So, as usual, stay safe and God bless.